Text for our sermon tonight comes again from Psalm 23, but we're first going to read God's Word in Isaiah 40. Word of God in Isaiah 40. We'll read tonight the first 11 verses of Isaiah 40, and then the last four verses, verses 28 to 31. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now we pick up our scripture reading at the very end of the chapter, verse 28 to the end. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We read the Word of God that far, and we turn once again to Psalm 23 for our text. The text is found in verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you're aware from the sermon this morning, we've been considering the various verses of Psalm 23 at the occasion of our celebration of the Lord's Supper. Tonight I deviate from that slightly by considering verse 4 as applicatory to the Lord's Supper. And there's a couple of reasons for doing that. One of the reasons is that it seemed to me, at least, that this verse fit better with an applicatory service rather than the service of our celebration of the Lord's Supper. Not that that would have been inappropriate, but it seems to fit better here. When we think of an applicatory service, we usually think of a call to a holy, thankful, godly life. And over the last number of weeks, we've heard many of those calls to a godly, thankful, holy life. The application of the truth of the gospel is a bit different tonight. The application of the comfort of the gospel to the hardships and the trials of this earthly life that we experience. It's the application of the gospel to how we are to respond to God's heavy hand as He lays that upon us. The other reason for considering this particular verse tonight, due to the trials and the hardships that a number of members of our congregation presently experience, rather than waiting a number of months down the road to consider this verse and the comfort of it, it seemed fitting to me that on account of our present circumstances, with many suffering in many different ways, it would be good for us to receive the comfort of the gospel as that's found here in our text. Text is memorable, precious. It certainly can be said of the whole of Psalm 23, but there's something unique about verse 4. When we think about Psalm 23 and the comfort that it provides, we very quickly turn to verse 4. What it says about God's presence with us and His care of us in the valley of the shadow of death. God's way for us in this life is often through that deep, dark, dangerous valley. He's pleased to try our faith through adversity. Brings us through circumstances that are hard, painful, distressing, fearful, press us and squeeze us. That's something that you know from your own life and your own experience. Have you been there? That valley. Are you there now? How urgent that we know and receive the comfort of the gospel as we walk through that valley, whether we're there presently, whether God leads us through that sometime in the future. Altogether important for us that we know the comfort of the gospel, that our good shepherd is with us, and that we be directed in faith to Him so that we look for help and comfort nowhere else but to Him. May the Word of God to us tonight give us comfort and hope, give us strength, whether now or in the future, press on through the valley of the shadow of death. Consider this Word of God tonight under the theme, My Shepherd's Protective Care. First, dark valley. Secondly, protecting shepherd. And then thirdly, fearless sheep. How we need the protective care and presence of our good shepherd. That because he's pleased to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Text is Again, using that familiar illustration of a shepherd and his sheep. In particular, it's describing how a shepherd would lead his sheep on a very difficult journey. In the springtime, as the snow and the ice would melt, the shepherd would take his sheep from the home range, from the farmstead where he's had them through the winter, and he'd lead them up to the mountain pastures and the green pastures that were there. But the way that led there was through the valley. In order to ascend up to those good mountain pastures, the shepherd had to lead his sheep through the valley. And that because the valley was the gentle way for them. These sheep couldn't scale the steep cliffs. It was necessary to lead them up the easy and the gentle way through the valley to the higher heights. And so the shepherd would go before them. He'd lead them along this valley. In that valley, there would be the fresh streams of water as the snow melt from above comes down through the valley. There'd be green pastures for the sheep to feast on, and they'd remain there in those upper pastures for several weeks or several months through a good part of the summer. But though it was necessary to lead the sheep through the valley, that valley was a valley that was filled with danger. For one thing, it was often covered over in shadow, in darkness, because of the shadows cast by the hills and the cliffs and the mountains around. And that made it something fear-inducing for these timid sheep. In addition, there was the danger of storms that would quickly arise, where with a heavy rainfall, those streams would become swollen and raging, and something that could easily sweep away one of the sheep. The rain could quickly turn to a biting snow and ice and cold that would chill them to the bone. The way through the valley was a way where there were at times difficult terrain to traverse, loose rocks and steep cliffs to pass through. And often lurking in the valley would be predators, wolves or lions or poisonous snakes that would do harm to the sheep. Though the valley is the necessary way for the sheep to travel onward, that valley was also dark and dangerous. The Bible uses that illustration of the valley of the shadow of death. It's describing all of the hardships and the troubles and sorrows that God is pleased to bring upon His people in this life. When we read the passage, when we hear the phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, we ordinarily think right away of death itself, that to be in the valley of the shadow of death means God is bringing us through death on to glory. And while it's certainly the case that that's part of the meaning of the Word of God here, that's not exclusively what it's referring to. It's referring not just to death and the child of God going through that, but it's referring to all of the hardships and the struggles that God brings upon us in this life. One of the ways that that's indicated from the text is that the text refers not to death, but the shadow of death. And the shadow of death is not death itself, but anything that raises the fear or the potential threat of death. In addition, it's possible to translate this word of God not as the valley of the shadow of death, but as the valley of deepest darkness. And that legitimate translation indicates that it's not just death that this valley represents, but any circumstance in the life of the child of God that we'd characterize as being that of deep darkness, anything hard and fearful. And in addition, what indicates that as the meaning of the text here is its placement in the rest of the psalm. The psalm fits together as you have a shepherd and his sheep and their relationship and his provision for all of their needs. And finally, at the end of the psalm, his bringing of the sheep to their everlasting home. And if we're going to talk about the application of Psalm 23 to death, it's especially at the very end, in that last verse, that application is made. But this verse fits in the middle. And what comes afterwards is a further description of God's care for us, is setting a table before us, is anointing us with oil and blessing us and leading us to our everlasting home. And that indicates then that what the passage is describing is not the end of life, but God's leading of us through any of the dark, difficult, painful things of life as he's leading us onward to our everlasting home. Those hardships and trials and sorrows are a reality for us in our earthly pilgrimage. To be a Christian, to be a sheep who belongs to the precious fold of God, does not guarantee to us then that while this life is easy and it's carefree and all we know is happiness and pleasure. We know that the Christian life often involves hardship and struggle. It doesn't come as a surprise to us. In fact, it's something that we anticipate. It's something that we expect. It's something that we know already from our own experience. It's something that we know at some point God will bring into our life to one degree or another. Psalm 34, verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." John 16, verse 33 says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." We know this to be the lot of God's people in this life. Many of God's people, many in our own congregation, know that on account of our own present circumstances of life. How many, how various, the trials that God has laid upon us. Some of God's people, they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death is on account of physical sickness and infirmity, breakdown of the body, the necessity for surgeries, being hospitalized, and the general wear and tear and the breakdown of the body with old age. Some of God's people, they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death is on account of the disappointments and the discouragements that they face in earthly life. They have plans, they have hopes and good desires, and yet those things have not come to reality. Child of God, for example, may desire earnestly that God give a spouse, and yet they continue to live in single life. Believing couple desires earnestly that God give them children, and yet not yet at this time is that able. Some of God's people, they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death is on account of the struggles and the sorrows of home and family life. Sin in relationships not only breaks our hearts, it breaks our homes. Some of God's people know what it is to live in a troubled marriage or to be abandoned by a spouse. Believing parents and grandparents know the heartache of children and grandchildren whom they've taught the truth of God's word from a little child, and yet to see children and grandchildren go astray, give no evidence of real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting the truth of the Word of God and the Christian faith. Some of God's people are hurt by the sins of others in their families. Some of God's people are ostracized by family members who want nothing more to do with them. Some of God's people are walking through the valley of the shadow of death is on account of sins that have been committed against them. They've been hurt. They've been wounded. They've been betrayed. They've been abused in one way or another. And for some of God's people, they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death is on account of death itself. It may be the death of a loved one, one we're very close to. Beloved father or mother, brother or sister, child or grandchild. And for all of us, at some point, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes first, we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death in facing the reality of our own death, the fearful and the unknown when God comes to take us out of this life. And we could go on and on. So many are the afflictions of God's people, all of the disappointments, all of the sorrows, all of the heartaches, whether big or small, God brings upon us. What is our response when God sends those things upon us? Our response is often that of sheep. Sheep are not brave, courageous creatures. They're timid. They're easily spooked. They don't want to walk through the dark shadows of the valley. They're easily frightened by anything that may threaten them. Often that's true of us. When God leads us through the dark valley, we're like timid, spooked sheep. We're easily filled with fear. That valley is dark. The way before us is unknown and uncertain, and therefore we're worried, fearful about what the next step may bring for us. How necessary, how urgent, that we have a good shepherd who loves us, who cares for us, will be with us and guide us through the valley of the shadow of death. The truth of the gospel of grace is that we have such a shepherd. Shepherd who loves us, who cares for us, who leads and guides us and protects us as we walk through that valley. Before we speak to what the text mentions explicitly, take note of one thing that's implied here, and one aspect of the comfort of the Word of God here that's implied is the shepherd's ordaining of those paths for us. Comes out from the illustration of the shepherd and his care of his sheep. It was necessary for an earthly shepherd to take his sheep from the homestead up to the higher mountain pastures to scout out the trail that his sheep would have to follow. Though the way through the valley was difficult, the shepherd understood this is the necessary way for them to pass to be brought to the green pastures. poor excuse for a shepherd or a hireling who didn't care for the sheep or love them would never bother with that. The hireling would say, "That's too hard for me to scout out a trail through the valley and to stay for weeks on end up in the mountains." And so he'd leave the sheep down in the home pasture where all summer long the sheep would devour the pastures and trample them underfoot until by the very end there was nothing left for them to eat. The good shepherd understood, though this is difficult, this is necessary. And so as winter turns to spring, he'd go himself to blaze the trail, to see what is the right way to lead them through the valley, to make sure there's enough provision for them, to see where there might be any dangers that threaten, where predators might lurk, so that he can lead the sheep safely onward to their destination. The reality of that for us is the truth of the sovereignty of our good shepherd, who sovereignly has ordained the way that we must go. God in eternity has ordained in his eternal counsel every detail of our lives, the beginning of our life and the end of our life when he takes us home and everything in between. And he sovereignly determined from eternity all of the paths for us that lead through the valley of the shadow of death. God has determined that as the right way for us. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident when we're brought to walk through the deep, dark valley. But our all-wise God has determined this is the necessary way for my sheep to travel to bring them on their way home. It's in the valley that our good shepherd is pleased to strengthen and to test and to try our faith. It's in the valley that our shepherd has determined that he's going to shape us, mold us, grow us, sanctify us. That way is hard, but it's the right and the necessary way for us to travel. Our good shepherd, therefore, has determined for us the right and the good and the perfect way for each one of us. If there was a better way that we ought to travel on our way to our everlasting home, we can be sure that our good shepherd would have placed us on that way. Placed us here. He's ordained these circumstances because he's determined this is best, this is right, this is good, this is perfect, this is the necessary way for each of us to travel, bring us to our heavenly home. Comfort of gospel to us is that, partly, God has ordained all of these troubles and sorrows that we experience in this life. But the text mentions specifically other aspects of our comfort. It mentions at the end of verse 4, "This, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Part of our comfort as we walk through the valley is the reality of our shepherd's rod and staff. For an earthly shepherd, a rod was a short club that he carried in one hand. Usually what he'd do is he'd find a young sapling and he'd lop off the top of it a few feet from the ground, and then he'd dig down into the ground where the roots started to part from the base of the tree. He'd cut off all the roots and he'd have then that hard piece of wood as the knob end of his club. And that club was used for a number of different purposes. When the sheep would pass through a narrow way, he'd use that club to count all of his sheep, use the rod to pull apart their wool and to inspect them for any disease or bugs. At times, that club would be used to keep the sheep in line. If one of them was going to go astray, that club would be used for that. But mainly, it was used as defense and protection of the sheep. Shepherd would use that club to beat the daylights out of any animal that would threaten his sheep, any wolf, any lion, anything else that's threatening them. That club was used to protect, to defend, to keep the sheep safe. For those sheep, the rod of the shepherd was a comfort. It meant their protection. In one hand was the rod, and the other hand was the staff. And the staff is what we normally picture when we think about a shepherd, a long, skinny rod with a big hook or crook at the end of it. Shepherd would cut down a tree and he'd bend the end of it until he'd formed it into a nice hook or a crook. And the staff was used especially to direct the sheep and to keep the flock together. Shepherd would use that staff to take a little newborn lamb and to pull it close to the side of its mother so that it could feed. When one sheep was going to go astray, the shepherd would use that staff to bring it back into line. If a sheep would fall down into a thicket of thorns or get mired down into some thick mud, shepherd would use that to hoist the sheep out and to bring him back again to the path. And at times, simply, that staff would be used to rest upon some of the sheep to show them the shepherd is here. Simply there to nudge them, simply there to rest on them so that they know the shepherd is here, he's present. That staff also was comfort for the sheep and what it meant about the shepherd's protection, preservation, and guidance of them. God's rod and staff comfort us as we go through the valley. What they represent is the comprehensive care and protection and guidance of our God for us. As we go through the valley, we have comfort in the rod of our shepherd that he uses especially to defend us and preserve us so that any enemies that would seek to destroy us, take our life away, our Heavenly Father protects us. We have comfort in the valley in the staff of our shepherd. Comfort being that our good shepherd is there to direct us, to keep us on the right path, and to bring us close to him and assure us of his nearness and his presence. We know that rod and staff of our good shepherd, especially through his word. It's through his word, and by the working of his spirit through that word, that we're defended, protected against our spiritual enemies. It's through that word that we see the staff of our Heavenly Father directing us and guiding us and keeping us near to his side. How important and how precious then to us is that word. What a comfort is the word of the gospel of our Savior and his care for us and how we need that word then. How important that we hear that word preached on the Sabbath day. How important that we have time in that word, reading that word, memorizing that word. How important that we receive that word when it's brought by others, whether pastor, elders, or deacons, or some other member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and especially as we go through hardships and trials and afflictions. It's important that we are close to the shepherd by being close to his word. Our comfort as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death is the comfort of our shepherd's rod and staff, his protection and his guidance of us. That bottom, comfort of the child of God in the valley of the shadow of death, is the shepherd himself and his presence with us. Why is it that the rod and the staff are such a comfort to us? Not because of what they are in themselves, but because they represent the presence of the shepherd. It's not the rod, but the hand that holds that rod that comforts us. It's not the staff, but it's the one who holds that staff who comforts us. And verse 4 says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It was the presence of a shepherd that would settle sheep. They go through the valley and they're spooked on account of all of the shadows and as they're fearful of all the dangers that lurk there. It's the presence of the shepherd that would settle them. As the shepherd goes before them and is among them, his confident leading of them in the way forward settled them, comforted them, and was the means whereby they were brought forward. At bottom, this is our comfort. This is our strength. It's the fact that God is with us. When He leads us through that dark valley, not the case that we're there because He's abandoned us, because He's forgotten about us, as we may be tempted to think. It's not that He's cut us off, He's shut up His tender mercies to us, that now this is where we find ourselves. He's ordained this for us, and He's with us. He's not only set out before us the path in which we must go and then leaving us on our own to walk that path, but He's with us all the time, every step of the way. At times, for some of God's people, they may struggle with that reality because the circumstances of their life are so painful, so gut-wrenching, so traumatic that they're tempted to look at that and to say, where was God? If God was with me, why would this happen? If God was there to protect me and to care for me, then why did this awful thing take place in my life? And the fact that that has taken place, doesn't that mean God is not with me? Or if He's with me, He could do nothing about that? The fact that God is with us is not a guarantee that no hard, painful, traumatic thing will come upon us. That's not because of a failure on the part of our good shepherd, or because He's abandoned us, or He's not powerful to protect us. But His presence with us does mean that he averts all evil, or what evil he sends upon us, he turns to our profit. His presence with us does mean that we're not shut up from his tender mercies, or that his love for us can break. His presence with us means that nothing can separate us from his love. It means that no enemy of ours can touch us apart from his sovereign will, and no enemy of ours can destroy us and take away our salvation. His presence with us does mean that he cares for us, and he supplies to us the grace and the strength that we stand in need of to go on in this way that he sovereignly determined is the right way for us. There are many times where the child of God in the valley of the shadow of death feels so alone. Maybe that's because everyone else that we know and we love has forsaken and abandoned us. Maybe that's because all they have to say to us are hurtful words like Job's friends. Maybe that's because they're not there for us when we need them, or they don't understand what it is that we're going through and we feel like we're all alone. The truth of the gospel for the child of God is that we're not alone. And that's not cliche to say that. The reality is our God and Father is with us. It's his presence that alone can settle us when everyone else forsakes, when father and mother and loved one depart, when others abandon us and disappoint us and forget about us and only have hurtful things to say to us. Our refuge is, God is with me. There's none that can take that away from me. I'm never cut off from him, separated from him and from his love. He's faithful. He's with me. He's for me. The good fruit of God's leading us through the valley is that we're drawn in our own experience more closely to him and to depend upon him. It's indicated in the text in a subtle shift that's made. In the earlier verses, the psalmist is speaking about God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in the green pastures, he restores my soul. But now here in verse 4, he doesn't speak about the shepherd, he speaks to the shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Having been brought through the valley, the work of God who's present with us is to draw us in our own life and experience more closely to him so that we know his presence and we know our dependence upon him. And what often happens only in the valley is that we come to realize how close he's always been to us. It often takes that. Bring us through the valley to make us realize his presence with us, that he's never away from us, but that he's with us, and to remind us of our dependence on him. This truth is the truth of the gospel. It's the application of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ to our life and our experience of hardship and trials. Our good shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's gone before us, who knew what it was to go truly through the valley of the shadow of death in a way that you and I will never know and never thankfully experience. From the moment of his birth until he gave his life at the cross, he walked through the valley and he experienced that as the wrath of God against our sins. He finally went to the cross as a lamb to the slaughter to pour out his life for us so that we might enjoy all of his blessings, life with God, and know his continual care of us. And this care and this comfort that we have, it's all grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for us in his suffering and his death. We know God's presence with us for the sake of Jesus Christ. We know his love for us will never change, never be broken for the sake of Jesus Christ. We know he's directing all things for our good and our salvation. That he averts all evil or he turns it to our profit for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because Jesus Christ endured the wrath of God in his whole life of suffering that you and I will never have to experience that. That the sufferings we experience, painful and difficult as they are not the expression of God's hatred and his killing wrath, but are the demonstration of his love for us. It's for the sake of Jesus Christ that we know God is faithful to protect us, to guide us, to strengthen us through the valley. And it's that truth and that truth alone gives us courage to go on and to walk through that valley without fear. It's the way that the text concludes. Or in the middle of the text, rather, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's astounding. These are sheep we're talking about. Poor, helpless, defenseless creatures, easily spooked and afraid at the slightest disturbance or threat. That's us, weak, helpless, dependent upon God, sinners beside. How is it that we can fear no evil? How is it that we can walk through the valley without fear or terror? Not because we are so strong, but only because of the care of our shepherd. Those fears which arise in our souls are driven away by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In faith, we look to our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eye isn't to be on anyone or anything else. We're not to look to ourselves to get through all of these things. Our dependence ultimately is not someone or something else. In the end, our strength and comfort is not finding out all the answers and understanding all of the why of God leads us this way. In the end, Job, though he wanted to know the why, never found out the why. But Job was pointed to God and the sovereignty of God and the care of God. And that in faith is where we rest. We rest in our God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of the gospel and of his love and care for us. And alone then, in that, can we face the way forward without fear and terror. When you're in the valley, where are your eyes fixed? Are you looking toward yourself? Are you looking ultimately at others or other things? In the end, are you looking for the answers? That's where our focus is. We're going to know fear, worry, and distress. In faith, look to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. As you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, keep your focus exclusively on Him. He alone can comfort. He alone can give strength and grace to press on. He alone can settle and deliver from fear and give courage to go forward. Trust in Him. Look to Him and Him alone at all times for your comfort and for your strength. In the knowledge of His presence and of His care, in the confidence of the gospel of grace and the unbreakable love of God for you in Christ, press on. The strength that He alone supplies, go fearless into the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Amen. Let us pray. Father who art in heaven, thankful for Thy tender care and leading of us. Thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and who by His unique suffering has delivered us from all of the punishment of sin that's due to us. We're thankful that for His sake, what we receive is only Thy loving fatherly chastisement and correction, and that all this is for our good and our salvation. Pray, Father, for the strengthening of our faith, which is so often weak. Draw us nearer to Thy side. Make us to know our complete dependence upon Thee, and give us to walk, not by sight, but to walk by faith. Thee, our God. Give strength and comfort, give grace to go on in the week that lies before us in a way that brings honor to Thy great and holy name. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.